With a Try Before You Buy program and state-of-the-art hearing aids, Chico Hearing Aid Center provides hearing evaluations at no cost to determine your benefit with hearing aids. For an appointment, call 342-8132. And by Old Gold Jewelry, serving the community since 1988 with a full-service jewelry store in downtown Chico. Old Gold also buys estate, broken, and used silver and gold jewelry of all kinds at 225 Main Street in the Garden Walk Mall, Unit 3. And they can be reached by calling 891-4610. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online streaming at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Tonight, we'll be talking about the decision by the National Institutes of Health to transfer its captive chimpanzees to sanctuaries, Sacramento's Meatless Monday proclamation, and then we're going to talk about the joy of vegan potlucks.
Oh, I love me a good vegan potluck. Thank you, Danny. So, story number one, if it's Monday in Sacramento, put the beef burger down. The Sacramento City Council passed a resolution at last night's session declaring all Mondays from here on out to be meat-free in Sacramento in honor of Paul McCartney. McCartney, who is a noted vegetarian, will be playing the opening night concert at the brand new, very expensive Golden One Center in downtown Sacramento. The mayor's office thought it would be very fitting for the city to celebrate something important to Paul McCartney. Crystal Strait, chief of staff to Mayor Kevin Johnson, was quoted as saying, quote, "It's been farm to fork week, and one of the things we realized would be fun to do and exciting for the whole city was this resolution." McCartney, end quote. McCartney is, of course, an outspoken advocate for vegetarianism, and he was the founder of the Meat Free Monday campaign for the United Kingdom. McCartney is not actually playing on Monday, alas. He is playing at the Golden One Center on Tuesday and Wednesday, October 4th and 5th, and on those days, food vendors at the Golden One Center will be offering special vegetarian dishes in his honor. So, kind of like what they do when Morrissey plays.
I wish they could honor him every day.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a, you know, we'll stop beating you today while the boss is here, but now he's gone, we'll go back to regular behavior.
Yeah, well, for Morrissey, it's contractual when he performs his concerts.
But, Morrissey.
So anyway, yeah, so I don't know if those options at the Golden One Center are going to be vegan, but I really hope so. The Meatless Monday resolution just encourages residents to take a break from animal-based eating for one day a week, and it's not like a law, so there's no penalties for failure to comply, except of course, as we know, the farmed animals pay the ultimate penalty and the environment pays a secondary penalty for every time someone eats an animal product.
If I was president, it would be the law.
Someday, Danny, someday.
I'll get a petition.
Also, local Sacramento restaurants or restaurants local to Sacramento will also be creating vegan and vegetarian dishes for the whole month of October as part of the very popular Sacramento Vegan Chefs Challenge, which is now in its sixth year. And that is where restaurants in Sacramento sign up, and the chefs at those restaurants pledge to make a completely vegan meal.
I wonder, can we get them to talk to the restaurants in Chico?
Yeah,
a
really?
Bit of a Chico... Actually, somewhat seriously, I mean, it seems like whoever drives that might have a way to talk to the restaurateurs up here.
That was strictly grassroots action. It was boots on the ground, just a couple of activists, very dedicated activists.
Maybe we should try. We'll tell everybody we're going to Sacramento for dinner. Sorry.
and Sacramento does have at least one or two vegan restaurants and lots of vegan options at most of their, but a lot of places, not most, but a lot.
I just had some nice vegan pho in Rockland a few days ago.
Oh, yeah?
At the vegan restaurant there.
I can get vegan pho at Noodle House on mangrove, and it's like not, my apologies, it's not great.
We're glad they have the option.
But it's good. It's good. I'm used to it now. I enjoy it. And it's inexpensive, which sometimes in Sacramento, things are not inexpensive. And yeah, I was doing some research, as is my habit. Meatless Monday efforts actually started first during World War One, when the United States government needed citizens to conserve resources, and farmers were not producing as many cows and thus not as much meat. And in recent years, Meatless Monday has spread across the globe as an environmental and health movement, which is kind of nice. So
that is nice, yeah.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. What's up for news, Danny?
What is up for news? In our second story, we will be talking about chimpanzees. Biomedical research has lived at the crossroads between considering what is good for humans versus the rights of non-humans. Hence, this is Non-Human Radio. Most decisions are made basically on the basis of cost-benefit calculations, and they don't care at all about the rights of the non-human animals involved or anything to do with that. It's just commodities subjects. So a little background on the chimpanzee protection movement, which has been going on for several years now. In 2000, Congress passed the Chimpanzee Health Improvement, Maintenance, and Protection Act. And if you know how acronyms work, you know that that is the CHIMP Act, which was signed into law by President Clinton in December of 2000. I haven't said President Clinton in a while. It created a federally supported system to provide, quote, provide for the lifetime care of chimpanzees who have been used or were bred or purchased for use in research conducted by or supported by the National Institutes of Health, the Food and Drug Administration, and other agencies of the federal government. In essence, the government agencies that are experimenting on chimpanzees, they created this act to say, you know, when you're done with them, you actually have to take care of them and give them some kind of quality of life back. And certainly this was a large effort by many animal activists to get this legislation passed.
Absolutely. Right. And it's been amended a couple of times since it was first passed. Like, one of the amendments that I saw they passed was once a chimp was retired, it could not be, he or she could not be pulled back into research if needed, right? So it's like, once a chimp retires, he or she stays in retirement permanently.
So that's a good amendment, which seems rather obvious to whatever they passed
originally. Right? I mean, that it had to be amended to correct that or to clarify that says volumes about the biomedical research industry.
Yeah, indeed. So if you fast forward through a couple of other significant breakthroughs to 2013, when the National Institutes of Health announced its intention to retire the majority of the approximately 360 government-owned chimpanzees to sanctuaries, a committee of experts in research and bioethics determined that the benefit of chimp research was, surprise, not that essential to science after all, so they could retire these additional 360 chimpanzees. It just makes me kind of queasy to even be like government-owned chimpanzees. It's not a far step to government-owned people.
It was. It's sort of chilling to read those two, that adjective for a sentient being, right?
In fact, the original 2013 plan to retain a colony of 50 chimpanzees as a reserve was reversed after another NIH study again proved that the usefulness of chimps in biomedical research was unnecessary. In late 2015, after more self-examination and assessment, the NIH decided that the time for using chimps for research was entirely over and announced that it would retire all federally owned chimpanzees and release them from their lives as research subjects. So you kind of see how this just kept evolving once they were actually forced to do the science, look at the science, and justify what they were doing. They couldn't justify it at all. So chimps would be freed from being experimented on and would live in a federally funded sanctuary where they could form or join social groups, interact, be chimpanzees, climb, live free.
Not to mention, it's not just like living free, it's also recovering, right? These chimps have been confined for a number of years. They basically go insane.
I mean, in a cage where you can't move, in bright fluorescent lights, in a medical building.
And
you don't like to go to the doctor. You want to stay in that room forever?
Exactly, yeah. And in order to work with these animals, they have to be sedated or knocked out in order to be able to do the procedures, take the liver samples or biopsies or whatever. It's just a horrific existence.
That's terrible. I mean, I just went to the dentist. Do you want to go to the dentist every day times five?
Right, and then recover from that, right?
And then have it done again. It's mentally damaging.
So
That's just horrible. So in late August... And actually, what's surprising here is that part of this plan, they actually paid for a sanctuary to retire, and it wasn't just, we'll just shoot them all, you know? So that's probably, again, the work of the activists, making sure that that happened.
Yeah, you don't want to upset animal activists anymore, you know?
Right.
You just don't want to deal with that deluge of phone calls and letters and barricades and protests.
Yeah, I mean, all that, social media pressure, it all adds up, and you've seen as... communication tools have proliferated and more people are able to make their voice heard that more objectionable policies are actually getting changed across the social spectrum. So continuing on this, in late August of this year, I think.
Right, now we're in this year.
Yeah, the NIH completed the planning timeline. Again, this is the government, so you can see how freaking long this takes, though, right? So in late August, they completed the planning timeline for the release of all the federally owned captive chimps. Many of them will be released to Chimp Haven, which, again, surprisingly, is federally funded chimp sanctuary in Louisiana, which has a capacity for approximately 230 chimps with space for around 25 more. Another 200 chimpanzees are being transferred to Project Chimp, a huge new sanctuary in Georgia. The Jane Goodall Institute reports that other nonprofit sanctuaries in the United States are fundraising to expand so that they can take in even more of the chimps.
Right. So what was a federal mistake or a federal policy is now being borne by nonprofits begging for money. Not begging, but, you know,
right.
Fundraising to rectify this.
Somehow we could have a whole system where scientists are motivated to perpetuate and continue these surgeries so that their grants are funded for medical quote-unquote research, which is why it's so hard to stop these processes because it's a bunch of systems that make profit off of this kind of pointless research.
Right.
And yet there's no money to just retire them all. That's a difference. That's too much money.
Yeah. It was different interesting. Budget. Part of the timeline planning and for the transfer of these chimps to sanctuaries involved an assessment of the mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the federally funded facility, Chimp Haven, has a certain number of chimpanzees resident there, and they know that a certain number of them are going to be passing away.
Sure.
And so that's why that was the planning part of the timeline. Like, we know in 5 years or 2 years, X number are going to pass away.
Wow. You get to experiment on for a few more years until your buddy dies in the vacation home and a slot opens up for you, basically.
Yeah, I don't think experimentation is going on, but yeah, you don't get to be transferred out into a sanctuary situation.
So hopefully until they actually retire them, they just can't go to the sanctuary.
Right. Well, and that's the importance of having the private, the semi-private nonprofits develop capacity so that these chimps can be moved out more quickly.
Yeah. Did you get any info on, what kind of care would the government facility provide? Like, are they going to give health care to these guys?
Yeah, or is it? Yeah. There's a lot of primatologists who are involved. That seems pretty legit. It had the support of other nonprofit chimpanzee sanctuaries. So, yeah, I feel okay about that, even though it is, bears the imprint of the federal government funding and oversight.
So I know we got a note here that this does not affect any other primate species that are used for experimentation, like rhesus monkeys. Do you know any more info about that, Jeannie?
Not that much more. Just that the animal activists have focused on chimpanzees because it's a pretty clear and easy argument to make, and there's not that many chimpanzees, but rhesus monkeys and other primates, little simians, there's a lot more of them being used.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what medical justification they can use if they're saying they thought chimpanzees were the closest to humans in biology, so these experiments would make sense.
Yeah.
They discovered those experiments are worthless. And yet, why about are these other primates who are even farther down the chain, still in captivity? Maybe it's just another battle to be fought.
Definitely. And we have our friends in Davis who the friends are, what is it? It's the Davis Primate Protesters. And they're doing that once a month. And they're speaking out for all the other primates that are behind walls that we can't see how they're treated.
Good for them.
Plenty of work to be done. And I think that I included the timeline because we can see it's about 16 years.
Yeah.
Probably more if you talk to the activists who are actively involved with primate rescue and anti-vivisection. And so I think if nothing else, it shows that we're in it. Animal activists are not giving up. We're not going away.
Right.
And, you know, rhesus monkeys, you're next.
Yeah, and you know, progress takes time. Interacting with bureaucracies take time. Many activists are full of passion and very angry, and they want change now. Many voters are passionate and want change now. And if it doesn't happen now, people kind of burn out, get angry, take their ball, go home. And it's the, you know, it's the folks that have been fighting that long 16-year battle, that 50-year battle. Change does happen, and you kind of have to have your expectations right. And now there's going to be a trickle down. Now that the NIH has said there's no medical value, the current people doing that can't do it. The next generation of professors have this in textbooks. And it'll eventually become sort of nonsense if you're like, no, I think we should experiment on in chimpanzees, and everybody will be like, you're crazy. This does nothing.
Yeah.
You know, once that gets codified into the teaching, into the next generation of ethics amongst the medical profession there.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
I am not in that area of the sciences at all.
But it'll take a generation or two.
Yeah. Change is on the way, though. So let's talk about another long-term trend. Which is the, what is it? I think we're on to, 9 years of Chico Vegan Potlucks.
Wow. That's a lot of food. So much vegan food.
So,
I think it's, I've been in and out of it as I've been in and out of town, and it's just, it's just getting better and better, and more, I think, sort of tendrils of people out into the community that are sort of mini activists showing up and spreading the word.
Absolutely. Yeah. So here we are. We are. Danny and I are going to talk a little bit about the most excellent Chico Vegan Potluck that was held just last Saturday at the Chico Library. We have these things on the fourth Saturday of every month at the Chico Library, which is such a wonderful resource for the whole community, but especially for the vegan community, because it lets us gather someplace where we can eat everything on the table and not have to ask if there's butter in it or does this have egg whites in it or any number of, you know, questions that are hard to ask when you're in a restaurant or at somebody's home.
Right, or somebody's eating a steak next to you.
And last Saturday's potluck was, I would say, exceptionally fine. The theme was tapas, so those little Spanish finger food, savory, diverse appetizer type things. And, you know, I have to say the Chico Vegans brought it. If you attended that potluck, I want to thank you for bringing some mighty good food.
It was pretty awesome.
Do you want to talk about like how diverse that potluck was? First of all, how many people would you say were there? I think there were about 28 or 30. I know we set up about four tables with eight.
Yeah, and there was a waves of people that came in. There was a group of very happy looking younger folks that came in. That was their first time there. I think it's a big benefit if you're thinking about going vegan or you've just gone vegan and you're like, God, all I can eat is peanut butter and jelly, and you show up and here's this, you know, $30 gourmet multi-course feast, probably better than, you know, anything going around in town. So it's just great. So this time,
it is better than anything going on in town for vegan cuisine. It is definitely better. I wish it weren't the case.
Yeah.
I wish we had some really fine dining, which, and we do have some options. We've talked about Aonami Sustainable Sushi has excellent vegan options. But yeah, restaurants like that are few and far between.
I mean, just dozens of tapas or small plates. You know, I looked up the history of tapas, and it kind of came from a Spanish word for, you know, top, to keep the flies out of your beer, so they would put a small snack on top of it.
No way.
Yeah. Now, this is an old word, so apparently they weren't concerned about the flies on your food. They just didn't want the flies to drown in your drink. Jeannie, do you want to talk about some of the foods that were featured there?
I have to say my favorite tapas, I guess technically probably not Spanish, but it was the crab cakes that Melissa made.
Those were great.
I'm going to give you huge props. She made deep fried crab cakes, and she made a delicious tartar sauce to go with them.
The crab was basically shredded artichoke hearts and seasonings and green onions inside of breadcrumbs, and she deep fried it and smoked up her house for our benefit.
I didn't even ask what was in it. I just knew it was vegan and it tasted good, and now I'm glad to know. And I knew, but I knew it did take a lot of time.
Jeannie made stuffed dates wrapped in homemade bacon bacon, which everybody loved.
They were stuffed with like a Chipotle style seitan, so it was really spicy.
Yeah, I mean, I just ate one little tiny one, and I was like, wow, I was full of it. You know, it was filling.
That's good. What else was there that we had? The classic tapas was the patatas bravas, right? Or brave potatoes, so spicy potatoes with this really, really well-prepared sauce on it, tomato-based sauce.
Brought by Clay Ellington, who hopefully many of our listeners know from his jazz shows around town. I wonder if we're getting into trouble naming people here. I don't know. I made a citrus red onion, traditional Spanish salad. So it was fun to kind of Google up a recipe. I'm not normally going to be putting oranges and red onions and olives together. And so it was a chance to experiment. You know, let's see. Everybody liked it. It's not something you're going to eat a bowl of, but a couple pieces of it was quite tasty.
That was great. That was like, and all these tapas, all these dishes that people brought were like diverse flavors and textures.
Yeah, it was great.
Which is the essence of really good food, what cuisine.
I Instagrammed some of these and I tagged them appropriately as tapas, and it was kind of rewarding to get likes from Ibiza.
Really?
Which is a Spanish island in the Mediterranean from, Spanish chefs. So it was good food. Looked good.
That's awesome.
I'm hungry now.
Well, I'll just say, if folks are hungry and they want some vegan eats, I have it on the calendar, but I'll mention it now, is we're going to be getting together at Woodstock's Pizza at 8 o'clock for their trivia night. We're formed a team, Chico Vegan, to try our best at the random category at Woodstock's tonight at 8.
So. Is that the category random for trivia?
Tonight's, yeah.
That's not a category at all.
It's general knowledge. it's what I'll excel at, actually.
We'll note that Woodstock's has vegan Daiya cheese for, I think, no extra charge?
No extra charge. No upcharge.
Get all the regular good stuff from Woodstock's.
And their crusts are vegan, the whole wheat, the regular white, and their gluten-free are all vegan, which is just nice.
Yeah, it's hard to get that in gluten-free.
So,
do we have a theme for the next potluck?
No, but the next potluck will be on, like I said, the fourth Saturday of the month. So
it's got to be Halloweenish, right?
I've been toying with the idea of pumpkin, except people get so tired of the pumpkin spice latte phenomenon. So I'm like, I'm not sure.
All pumpkin spice lattes. different types of soy milk.
Pumpkin is a very versatile ingredient. It works in savory and sweet applications, as well as seemingly many, many beverages, which is surprising to me. Anyway, that date is October 22nd, 6 to 8 p.m. If you haven't tried it out, haven't tried visiting because you're shy, I urge you to just Google some vegan recipe. The themes are just suggestions, so find something you like, make it vegan, and share it with some other people.
I'll break Jeannie's rules. I'm of the opinion, you could show up without food and just have a few snacks. Just, don't bring your whole family to lower the barrier of entry here.
And store-bought stuff is fine, too. Trader Joe's is a great resource for vegan snacks. And
cookies are always a big hit.
Yeah, somebody always brings a bag of those Trader Joe's vegan chocolate chip cookies.
I know, I always eat them.
And I'm like, good for you, man. These are delicious. Thank you so much.
Right.
So if you just tuned in, this is KZFR 90.1 FM. You're listening to Non-Human Radio with Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms.
All right. Now, Jeannie, I think, has a calendar of local events.
I do. All the info on the events that I'll be mentioning, as well as some other items, will be posted on our website at nonhumanradio.com. And, of course, if you have an event that you would like to share, please contact us via Facebook or at nonhumanradio@gmail.com. So, I already mentioned, join Team Chico Vegan at Woodstock's Trivia tonight at 8 p.m. We're going to get a big pizza, vegan pizza, and share it. And hopefully we'll kick some other team's butts at random trivia. Coming up on this weekend, I'm sorry, this week, Friday, September 30th and Monday, October 3rd, Vegan Outreach will be doing Adopt-A-College leafleting at Chico State on Friday and Butte College on Monday. And if you haven't tried leafleting as activism, I encourage you to give it a try for just an hour. Grab some leaflets from Steve. You just find him on campus and say, I want to help. And believe me, college students are receptive to this message. And I know it because I see them at our potlucks, new vegans at every one of our potlucks. On Saturday, coming up Saturday, October 1st is World Vegetarian Day. This was established by the North American Vegetarian Society in 1977 with the following mission statement: to promote the joy, compassion, and life-enhancing possibilities of vegetarianism. Mm. World Vegetarian, is that a good or a bad? Are you objecting because it's vegetarianism and not veganism?
Partially. I also enjoy the life-enhancing possibilities.
World Vegetarian Day.
I guess it enhances the lives of all the animals you don't kill and consume.
Exactly. World Vegetarian Day is a day to celebrate the ethical, environmental, health, and humanitarian benefits of a vegetarian lifestyle. And it's just the beginning of Vegetarian Awareness Month, which will culminate on November 1st with World Vegan Day.
There you go.
World Vegan Day has been celebrated since 1994, and it's the anniversary of the creation of the Vegan Society.
And the Vegan Society was created like 80 years ago or something, a long time ago, right?
I think the term vegan was coined in the 1940s or 30s, so it's not... It may seem like it's ancient history to you because you are much younger than I am.
But that is 60 to 80 years.
I stand corrected, or sit corrected. Other celebration days coming up this week are October 2nd is World Farm Animal Day, and it's also the birthday of Gandhi. October 4th is both a feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, who is the patron saint of animals, and the International Hug a Vegan Day. It's also the day that Paul McCartney is opening the Golden One Center in Sacramento. So happy World Vegetarian Day, everyone, coming up on October 1st. And I did some Googling about St. Francis. Did you know he's not only the patron saint of animals, he's also the patron saint of the environment, of Italy, of merchants and stowaways, of the Cub Scouts and tapestry workers, and of course the city of San Francisco is named after him.
Hmm. I think he's taken some jobs from the other saints.
So, also on October 1st, Vegan Red Bluff is having their monthly potluck at a private residence. Their suggested theme for this month is Chinese food. Please check out the Vegan Red Bluff Facebook group for more information and to RSVP. Red Bluff knows how to celebrate World Vegetarian Day. That is for sure.
Red Bluff, that's awesome.
I know, right? I'm always very happy about Red Bluff and their growing vegan community. And I want to give a shout out to the upcoming Chico Peace and Justice Center annual dinner, which is held on October 5th at the Chico Masonic Family Center on West East Avenue. That event is going to be vegan friendly with food provided by Roots Catering. And our own Sue Hildebrand, our mentor and engineer, will be the keynote speaker talking about her work on a documentary about gun violence called Afraid Nation.
Sue tells us every week she's going to go vegan soon.
I hope so. You can purchase tickets online at chicopeace.org or at Pullen's Cyclery at 801 Main Street. So go get yourself some. And I think one more thing I'm going to share is Friday, October 14th is PETA's Give a Dairy-Free Latte Day. So set your pennies aside and plan to give a vegan latte to a friend, either treating a vegan or, if you're vegan, treating a non-vegan friend to give a non-dairy latte a try. And I'll just say most of our coffee houses do have non-dairy options. And Pete's, heads up, Pete's, right there in downtown Chico, gets my special award for having both vegan coconut whipped cream and vegan cookies, if you so desire. So that is all. Oh, no, we have one last bit of business to take care of in our remaining minute or so.
The animal rights thought of the week is from Sir Paul McCartney, one of the most successful composers and performers of all time.
Woohoo!
And a two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, first as a member of this little band called the Beatles, and then as a solo artist for a little band called Wings, I imagine. Or as a solo artist. He has written or co-written 32 songs that have reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 list. McCartney is also famous for saying, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be vegetarian.
I think that slogan is due for an update, right?
Yes.
I think I should say, If slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be vegan.
Yes.
So go vegan, people. Go vegan. All Non-Human right. Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you.
And...